Psalm 112. We'll read Psalm 112, and then we'll read a few verses along the way as we go along. Psalm 112, I'm reading from the King James Version. It says that, "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright they arise the light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of the evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish." Somebody say amen. Father, tonight we are grateful for yet another day that you've given us to come together in prayer. We lift up your name. We magnify you. We glorify you. We exalt you. We declare your goodness. We declare your righteousness. And we declare your magnificence, O God. As we come in prayer tonight, we are not coming in our own name, but we are coming in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, you have made us kings and priests unto our God. We are not coming empty-handed, but we come by the way of the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach. As we come boldly before the throne of grace, O God, we are not coming in our own righteousness, but we are coming in the righteousness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, author and the finisher of our faith. And we say tonight, God, hear our prayer and attend to our supplication. Let there be something of great significance that takes place, O God, tonight as a result of our prayer. We pray for every man, every woman on this prayer line tonight, that their lives will be changed. Their lives will be moved in the direction that heaven has said their lives must be moved into. There will be an elevation and an augmentation of their faith. There is a rising up of faith and expectation in them that their God is watching out for them, that their God is orchestrating things and setting things in a place that will be a place that they have always aspired to get into, a place that heaven has said they must walk in. I pray not only for them, O God, but I pray for their generations. I pray even for their posterity. I pray that, God, tonight you open up the windows of heaven over their households. You open up the windows of heaven, O God, over their bloodlines. As the psalmist declared in Psalm 24, "Let the King of glory enter in, the King of glory who is the Lord strong and mighty, mighty in battle. Let the King of glory move in their homes. Let the King of glory move in their bloodline. Let the King of glory move in their generation and in their family." I thank you, O God, that you are the one that gives them the desires of their hearts, that you are the one who will establish your word in their lives, and not the word of any other man, not the word of any other spirit, but the word of God that is establishing their lives for your glory and for your glory alone. Father, I declare that every need that they have will be supplied for you are Jehovah Jireh. You own a cattle on a thousand hills. All the silver is yours, and all the gold is yours. You are releasing provision, O God. You are the all-sufficient God. Whatever need they have, if anybody needs healing tonight, O God, release healing. Let healing virtue flow. Father, rebuke the pain that is in their body, and let healing flow in the name of Jesus. If there's anybody who's looking for a breakthrough, I declare tonight you are the God of the breakthrough, Baal Perazim. You are going to release breakthrough into their lives, O God. Those, O God, that are just looking for a turnaround, show yourself to be mighty, to be the God of the turnaround, that you are going to turn things around. You are the one that said all things work together for their good, for those that love you and are called according to your purpose, O God. Let everything that they're experiencing, O God, continue to work in their favor. Let everything that they are going through, O God, continue to establish your plans and your purposes for your life, for their lives, in the name of Jesus. I pray that God, whatever has been pending, that heaven has said must be released in their life in this season, we command it now released in the name of Jesus. Father, whatever has been delayed for whatever reason, that must be released into their lives right now. We declare that the delay is over in the name of Jesus. Whatever has been standing in the way, tonight we declare that the mighty hand of God is removing every obstacle that has been standing in the way. Let the fire of God annihilate and destroy everything that the enemy has set in the way to hinder their progress in the name of Jesus. I thank you, God. And I praise you that you are the one who causes every diabolical seed to die. And you are the one who establishes a seed in their lives. I give you glory. I give you honor. As we have read, O God, you said their seed shall be mighty upon the earth, that the generation of the upright shall be blessed. I declare that, God, their children, their seed, their grandchildren shall be mighty upon the earth. I declare that, God, their generation, the ones even that haven't been born yet to time, that are still in their loins, are going to be upright before God, and they are going to be blessed all the days of their lives. I declare that poverty is not in their households, but abundance abides in the name of Jesus. That whatsoever they set their hands to do, God, it will not fail, but it will succeed. Whatsoever they set their minds to do, God, it will not fail, but it will succeed. We declare prosperity in thoughts, prosperity in ideas. We command a release of witty inventions upon their household. Let the mighty man that you have established in their midst, O God, arise now in the name of Jesus. You said, O God, unto the upright, there arise a light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. I pray that, God, even in this season, when men are declaring that we are in the darkest of times, in their homes they are rejoicing because a great light is rising in the name of Jesus. A light that has been established by God is rising. He said by the prophet Isaiah that there shall be darkness upon the land, even great darkness upon the people. But you said, arise and shine, for your light has come. We declare that the light of God is shining brightly even in the midst of the darkness. That the light of God is shining brightly upon their households. That the light of God is shining brightly upon their sons and their daughters. That the light of God is shining upon everything that concerns them, O God. Your word says, where there is darkness and light comes, darkness must flee. I declare that, God, even the darkness's desire to surround them, God, is breaking asunder now because the light of God is rising up in their midst. Somebody say amen. All you're doing is you're just agreeing that there is the light of God because you have chosen to make the Lord your God your delight. There is a light that is rising up in the midst of it all. Confusion and fear may sit around people, but it is well with your soul because God is with you. It is well with your household because God is with you. It is in the midst of adversity that you can see the goodness of God. There is a great darkness that is coming, but it is going to give a greater significant contrast between the light and darkness, knowing that you are like the children of Israel when they were in the land of Egypt, when darkness was upon the land, yet light was in the segment that they dwelt in. I declare that even though things may be bad in your neighborhood, the light of God is shining greatly upon your household. It is well, it is well, it is well with your soul. You will not be afraid. Somebody has to understand here tonight that the Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. When men's affairs are being governed and directed by fear, yours is being orchestrated by the fear, the reverence that you have for God. I pray that in this season, you will not be subjugated to fear, but the love of God will grow mightily and significantly in you, that your life is going to be guarded and guided and directed by the love that you have for God in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I thank you, God, that even in the midst of it all, when men are rising up to instill fear in the hearts of others, your children, oh God, are going to stand steadfast in the love of God. They are going to stand steadfast on your word to say, God has not given us the spirit of fear. We refuse to be intimidated. We refuse to be subjugated to fear. But we stand on the word of God and we stand on the faith of God. Father, your word says when the enemy comes in like a flood, your spirit is going to raise up a standard. I pray that God, even in this season where darkness seems to be upon the land, where the enemy is coming in from whichever way we cannot see, God, your word says you are going to raise up a standard. Let not this be a standard raised up from men's opinions, but let this be a standard that is raised up by heaven. The enemy will not prevail against our resolve. The enemy will not prevail against the word of God. Let the word of God rise up now to contend against what the kingdom of darkness is doing. Father, tonight our answer to every spirit that has been designed to bring fear in our lives, we declare that it is written that God has not given us unto you, but he has given us of the power of love and of a sound mind. We thank you, God. We praise you, O God, for your glory and for your glory alone. I thank you, God, for the cities that are represented here tonight, O God, for the families that are represented here tonight, O God, even for the ones that they are standing in the gap for. I declare and I decree, God, that this is a season of greatness that is going to rise up in the city, a season of greatness that is going to rise up in their neighborhood, a season of greatness that is going to rise up, O God, in their generation, a season of greatness that is going to rise up, O God, in their bloodline, because God, the King of glory, is standing in their midst, O God. I thank you and I praise you that your word has never changed. Your word, O God, that you said shall not pass away, God, shall be established as you have declared. We shall see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. The Psalm 112 verse number 7 says, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until you see his desire upon his enemies. You will not be afraid no matter what report the enemy is releasing. You will not be afraid, for your trust is in God. Your trust is not in man. Somebody say hallelujah. I am standing on the word of God. I am not standing on the words of man. I am not standing on the promises of man. I hope somebody can hear me well tonight, that your faith is not based on the promises of man, but your faith is anchored in the promises that God has given. The God who said, I am not a man that I should lie, that means man will lie. Somebody say hallelujah. Says, I am not a man that I should lie, nor a son of man that I should repent. That means God is not going to walk back on the promises that he has given you. If you trust in God, evil will not prevail against you. That's what God said. Somebody say hallelujah. I just wanted to address some things here tonight to let you know that your God is faithful. Your God is concerned about you. Your God is concerned about what you are going through. God sees all things. God knows all things. Somebody say hallelujah. That in itself must be a comfort in our spirit, to know that God knows all things, that God sees all things. I'm going to say it again. God knows all things. God sees all things. God knows all things. God sees all things. Somebody say hallelujah. And I'm saying that to specifically highlight this particular fact, that men will never admit that they don't have an answer, because they are looking for a posture, a position, an advantage for not saying that. But God knows all things, and he has no reason to change his perspective, because he knows all things. Somebody say hallelujah. He knows all things. He sees all things. He knows how everything is going to take place. That's how magnificent and brilliant your God is. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Let me read this for you again. Verse number 5. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. I want to let you know that God is going to release wisdom in the season that we are going through. And that wisdom is not the wisdom of man, but it is the wisdom of God. Somebody say hallelujah. It is the wisdom of God. It is the wisdom of God. It is the wisdom of God. Now we're gonna make a turn here. We're going to make a turn here tonight, because I understand that there are pressing things that are taking place in our present time, in our present season. We have never seen such great wickedness that is coming upon the land, upon the earth, permeating through the sons of man, what men are doing when they have lost total reverence and respect for God, total reverence and respect, lost reverence and respect for the lives of others, because they want to pursue and establish a particular value, a particular ideology, a particular philosophy. But how many of us know that men are only bad for a season? Men are only bad for a season. The Bible says men are like the flowers of the field. They have a glory for a season, and they're going to wither and they're going to die away. But I want to let you know that God's glory will never diminish. God's glory will never diminish, because the Bible specifically says in Malachi 3, God declaring, I am God and I do not change. I'm going to say that again. He says that I am God and I do not change. Remember, man is affected by time, but God is not affected by time, because God abides outside of time. So God does not change, but man will change. What is valuable in this season is going to change over the next seasons. What is a worthy pursuit in this season will be a worthless pursuit in the next season, because the things and the affairs of men are subject to time. But there is one thing that remains the same. God remains the same throughout time. That means before you knew him, he deserved your praise. Whilst you knew him, he deserves your praise. And when you are long and gone, God still deserves the praise because he is never changing. Somebody say hallelujah. That means this now, I want to say this again. If you put your trust in man, at some point in time, I guarantee you, you are going to be disappointed. But if you put your faith and your trust in God, I guarantee you that in time, you will never be disappointed. I'm going to say it again. If you trust in man, you are guaranteed that at some point in time you are going to be disappointed, because the Bible says the heart of a man is deceitfully wicked. Oh, Jesus, help me. The heart of a man is deceitfully wicked, because whatever man does, he does not usually do it for the goodness or from the goodness of his heart, but he does it because there is an advantage to be gained. Somebody say hallelujah. There is an advantage to be gained. There is an advantage to be gained. And I want to say this again. As we were just going through the week, a thought just crossed our mind. And I want to pose this question to you tonight. Do you still believe in God? Do you still believe in God? I'm going to pose that question again. Do you still believe in God? Do you still trust in God? Do you still have a heart that is after God? Do you look up unto God for wisdom? Do you look up unto God for the answers to your life? Or you are still trusting in man? The Bible says, blessed is he who trusts in the Lord, but cursed is he who trusts in the arm of flesh. Cursed is he who trusts in the arm of flesh, but blessed is he whose hope and whose faith, whose trust is in God. I pray that tonight your priorities begin to be rearranged to come into alignment with what heaven has ordained. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to say this, because if you say you trust in God, if you say you believe in God, if you say you are leaning on God, your first priority whenever you are faced in a situation, I want to say this. I don't want to say your first priority, but your one and only priority is to inquire of God. God is looking for somebody like Hezekiah who say, I will not inquire with man, but I'm going to go to the house of the Lord and lay these demands before God to hear what God has to say. Somebody who is like Habakkuk and say, God, I am not going to look to flip through the political channels. I'm not going to flip through the news, the media, to find out what God has to say about what's going on. But I'm going to go to the house of God to see what God has to say concerning what I'm going through. And after having heard what God has said about what I'm going through, then I'm going to position my life in accordance to what God has said. Somebody say hallelujah. And I feel that in this season that we are in, God is literally getting us to a place where it's like Joshua saying, choose ye this day whom you will serve. I'm going to say it again. God is asking us in this season, choose ye this day whom you will serve. It's like God has taken us to Mount Carmel, where Elijah was confronting the children of Israel, and they said, if God be God, then worship him. But if Baal be God, then let your hearts be after him. This is a question not only being addressed to us as a nation, but it is a question that is being addressed to us individually. Are we willing to lay it all down to serve our God, or we just serve God because it is a convenient thing to do? You see, it is one thing to say that I trust in God when you have everything. Somebody say hallelujah. Because it is easy to say I trust in God when you already have everything. It is easy to raise up your hands and magnify God when you are in the midst of having everything. It is easy to declare the goodness of God when you have never suffered lack for anything. It is easy to tell somebody that they must live their life uprightly before God when you have never endured any affliction. But the glory of our faith, the glory of our trust in God does not come in the days when we have everything. Somebody say hallelujah. It doesn't come in the days when you have everything, because the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for. That means faith has to do with what is coming in the future. Well, do you have enough faith to worship God when you don't have anything? Will you still declare the goodness of God when you haven't seen any good operating in your life? Are you still going to be able to declare the greatness of God in the midst of affliction? Are you still going to be able to say, I trust in God, when everything is being taken away from you like Job? Are you going to be able to say, I trust in God, when you are in the midst of a prison like Peter? Are you still going to be able to sing a song in the midnight hour like Paul and Silas, when you're in the midst of adversity, when you're in the midst of a prison? Are you still going to be saying, He is worthy of it all? Because that's what God is looking for. God is not looking for people that are following a crowd. God is looking for people that are committed and dedicated to Him, to say, God, I may not understand what is happening around me, but my faith and my trust is anchored in You. God, whether I have or I do not have, my faith in You, God, will never change. If my faith in You, God, changes, it's getting stronger and stronger and stronger, no matter what I have. Somebody say hallelujah. We have to get into a place to understand that whatever we are doing in our generation is not only going to affect us, but it's going to affect other generations coming after us. It's going to position our sons and our daughters in a place where they have to make easy choices or tough decisions based on what we have done in our generation. If our generation has given up on God, then what chance do our sons and our daughters have to follow God when we, the ones who are supposed to be custodians of the things of God, have given up on God because we trust more in man than we trust in God? I want to let you know that our generation is standing in a place of great opportunity. Our generation has been crying for a move of God. Our generation has been crying for a moment of significance in our walk with God, and we have got to that season and that time where God is about to answer our prayer. God is about to answer our cry, but we cannot give up on God because generations coming after us are depending on our testimony. Somebody say hallelujah. You see, I want us to understand here tonight as a way of reminder, just as a reminder, just to remind you that in this life, there are going to be opportunities for you to display your faith. There are going to be opportunities for you to display your faith. Somebody say hallelujah. And when I say that there are going to be opportunities for you to display your faith, I want to make it known this way. Your faith is usually displayed in the midst of chaos. Your faith is displayed in the midst of confusion. Your faith is displayed in the midst of affliction. You see, have you ever wondered why God had to take them through the wilderness on their way to the promised land? He says, I brought you through the promised land so I may try your faith, I may try your heart, I may reveal the things that are inside of you. Somebody say hallelujah. I want to say this again tonight. That we have an opportunity to show the world who our God is. Can I say that again? We have an opportunity to show the world who our God is. God help me.
God, we see the chaos and the confusion, but we still trust in you. We still trust in you. Do you realize that? Maybe I'm just talking to myself, but do you realize that trusting in God is not predicated on you receiving what you are asking for? I'm going to say it again. Your trust in God is not predicated on you receiving what you are asking God for. I'm going to say it again. You don't trust God. You don't say you trust in God because you have received what you are asking for. I'm going to say it again. You don't say you trust in God because you have received what you are asking for. But you trust in God because of who He is. We trust in God because of who He is. Need I remind you, God is faithful. God is righteous. God is just. Somebody say hallelujah. Let me just throw something at you here. Just to challenge where you are. And here is what I want to do. Let me just pull up this right here. Because we just want to be reminded of the goodness of our God. We want to be reminded that our God is true. Somebody say hallelujah. This is what Nahum wrote. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Nahum chapter number 1, verse number 2 says, God is jealous and the Lord avenges. The Lord avenges and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on His adversaries, and He reserves wrath for His enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord has His way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of His feet. He rebukes the sea and makes it dry, and dries up all the rivers. Bashan and Carmel wither, and the flower of Lebanon wilts. The mountains quake before Him, the hills melt, and the earth heavens at His presence. Yes, the world and all who dwell in. Who can stand before His indignation, and who can endure the fierceness of His anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by Him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knows. And He knows those who trust in Him. But with an overflowing flood, He will make an utter end of its place, and darkness will pursue His enemies. What do you conspire against the Lord? He will make an utter end of it. Affliction will not rise up a second time. For wild tangled like thorns, and wild drunken like drunkards, they shall be devoured like stubble fully dried. From you comes forth one who plots evil against the Lord, a wicked counselor. Thus says the Lord, though they are safe and likewise many, yet in this manner they will be cut down when He passes through. When He says, though I have afflicted you, I will afflict you no more. For now I will break off this yoke from you and burst your bonds apart. The Lord has given a command concerning you. Your name shall be perpetuated no longer. Out of the house of your gods, I will cut off the carved image and the molded image. I will dig your grave, for you are vile. Behold, on the mountains, the feet of the Lord who brings good tidings, who proclaims peace. O Judah, keep your appointed feasts, perform your vows, for the wicked one shall no more pass through you. He is utterly cut off. Somebody say hallelujah.
And I read that just to remind you that God has appointed a judgment for those that seek to destroy us. God has set forth a judgment for those that seek to bring destruction to us. And God is saying to us, continue having your feasts. Continue being steadfast in God, because your enemies are going to be dealt with by God. You see, it is one thing for us to deal with our enemies in this realm, but it is another for God to deal with our adversaries. It is one thing for us to pronounce judgment on our adversaries, and an entirely different matter when God pronounces judgment on our adversaries. Because God is thorough. I'm going to say that again. God is thorough. When God says he is going to do something, he will do it, and he will do it in perfection. I'm going to say it again. When God says, I'm going to go and deal with your enemies, he is going to do it in perfection. That he's not only going to deal with the enemy, but he is going to deal with the gods of the enemies as well. Because the Bible says, specifically telling us, we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against spirits, principalities, rulers of darkness that are in high places. We are not warring with flesh and blood, but our God has equipped us with weapons of our warfare that are not carnal, but they are mighty through him. That when God begins to deal with the enemy, God will deal with the enemy in perfection. I will say it again. God will deal with the enemy in perfection to obliterate everything that the enemy is involved in. Let me give you an example. God knew that the Philistines had to be dealt with. Somebody say hallelujah. And God says, I am going to do a thorough work even before David shows up. That in the days of Samuel, when Samuel was just a little boy, the Philistines captured the Ark of the Covenant and took it into their land. And God began to deal with the gods of the Philistines. That by the time that David stood up to fight against Goliath, God had already dealt with Goliath's defense mechanism, which is his gods. That's how thorough it is. But Saul did not understand. Saul did not understand that this battle is not against flesh and blood. But this battle is being fought in the plains of the spirit. But in the spirit, God had already been victorious. He was, God help me. God was just looking for somebody to fulfill in the natural what he had already done in the spirit.
That's how thorough your God is. So in this season, bear that in mind. We are saying now, God, go and deal with the principalities and the rulers of darkness that are spreading wickedness. Rebuke the devourer for our sake. Rebuke the destroyer for our sake. Rebuke the wicked one for our sake, that we may enforce, we may manifest in the natural what heaven has already done, in the name of Jesus. Because in the spirit, God has already given you victory over your adversary. He said in the book of Revelation, they overcame. They overcame, which means God has already established victory and is looking for someone to trust what he has already done in the spirit to manifest it in the natural. You see, here's the thing. It's always in the spirit first, and then it manifests in the natural. I'm going to say it again. It's always in the spirit first, then God will manifest it in the natural. But when it comes to man, man can only do it in the natural. But the war that you are fighting is not a fight. It's not a fight in the natural. It's a fight in the spirit. So don't take a spiritual battle and put it in the flesh, hoping to overcome. You have to go and engage in the spirit to manifest it in the natural. So I pray right now, wherever you are, God help me. Let me just backtrack a little bit here because the Holy Spirit just showed me something. See, I mentioned earlier on that God has not given us the spirit of fear. He has not given us the spirit of fear. Because the enemy wants to affect the spiritual atmosphere by introducing fear. That when fear abides, defeat is inevitable. Because you are afraid of engaging, because you're going to lose, because you're already fearful. But as I said again, your God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Because if fear tries to rob you of proper thinking, that's the sound mind. Fear causes you to be irrational. That's why the enemy engages you with the spirit of fear in the realm of the spirit, so that he can manifest defeat in the natural. But we know that there is a greater God. And the greater God has said, in the spirit, we are victorious. So here's what I want just to lay out for you as you pray concerning whatever it is. Concerning whatever it is of utmost importance that we go in the realm of the spirit and pick out what God has already done and call for its manifestation in the natural. Okay. Father, as you pray like this, you said we overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We take that victory in the spirit and we command it now to manifest in the natural. Let the enemy be rendered powerless in the name of Jesus. Let defeat that has been established on the enemy be made manifest in the natural in the name of Jesus. That's how you pray. God, there is fear, but it's not a transaction that has been ordained by heaven. Therefore, we say, let love, power, and sound mind prevail in the name of Jesus. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Let there be a manifestation of the greatness of our God in this natural realm as it is in the spirit. Says when you pray, pray, let thy kingdom come. Oh God, help me. Let thy kingdom come. Let the place where God has absolute dominion and authority come in the natural realm. Help me, Jesus. You see, in the kingdom of God, the devil has already been defeated. So let thy kingdom come. In the kingdom of God, the devil has already been defeated. In the kingdom of God, the works of darkness have already been overcome. In the kingdom of God, the desires of the flesh have already been subjugated to the designs of God. The desire for destruction has already been defeated by the kingdom of God. So we say, let thy kingdom come, absolute and total domination of the kingdom of God over the kingdom of darkness be made manifest in the natural realm as it is already in the spirit. And it says, let thy will be done. I can work on that, but let thy will be done. Let thy will be done. You see, it is the will of God that brought everything into existence. God help me. Let me just read this verse for you and I'm done for the night. Let me read this verse for you and I'm done for the night. Jesus, help me. Can you go to the book of Genesis? Let's go to the book of Genesis. And I'm done, then we pray, we go. The book of Genesis. In verse number 14. Genesis chapter number 3, verse number 14. And the Lord God said, and I'm reading from the King James Version. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The will of God is that the enemy is always going to be under your feet. So let thy kingdom come, O God, and let thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven has pronounced that you are going to crush the head of the serpent. Heaven has willed that you are going to overcome the powers of darkness. So let thy kingdom come and let thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of Jesus. And then I want to say this tonight too. Don't allow yourselves to be manipulated by men, because man always manipulates so that he can gain your trust. Don't allow yourself to be manipulated by man, but trust in God. Don't lean on the arm of flesh, but trust in God. Never allow man to establish fear in you, but trust in God, who has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Keep trusting in God. Let me read this verse and we are done for the night. I am going to read this verse again and we are done. Psalm 112. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of the evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in God. I want to say read number 7 again. Now let me remember, it's actually number 7. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. I'll say it again. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Let your heart be fixed in your trust in God. Whatever is going on in your life and whatever is going on around you, let this be steadfast in your heart. I trust in God and not in man. I trust in God and not in man. I trust in God and not in man.
My faith is in God and not in man.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen and amen.